Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
If you weren't here last night, the Durans adopted a kid that went to their school, and he made it official at the rehearsal dinner of his wedding, and changed and said it, his name was now, and he added Duran to his name. And so Sandy was up here, and she gave him a document and changed her name. So it's Pastor Sandy Duran here today. I guess I'm just along. I'm not. Let me tell you something. And after, let me help you. After you leave, when you leave here today, I think all we could just download Duran to the back of all of our names, and everybody will want in. We have the distinct, incredible honor. I know a lot of people, have a lot of friends, a lot of acquaintances, and some of them are family. And it's emotional for me just to introduce them. But today, we have the honor of being with true, like, royalty in the kingdom. Just the impact that they've made, just how they just win in life, and just the things that they've done. I'm like, are you kidding me? The things he's been a part of. I mean, we could literally sit here all day and hand out sack lunches and then dinner and just want to hear story after story after story of the incredible lives of these people. So will you welcome today to Guts Church, Danny and Deonza Duran.
We love you guys. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. You look beautiful. Oh, my goodness. We feel so at home. You may be seated. It has been incredible. You have to understand that we love your pastors.
Yes, we do.
It doesn't matter where you go across this country. When you say the words, Bill and Sandy Shear, people always go, oh, don't you love them? Oh, they're so powerful. And so we honor you. We love being in this house. We love your babies. They've grown up, but we're so proud of. Of course, we love Brooklyn and Press. We adore them. And Taylor and Cass and your beautiful babies. And Kennedy. Woo! Well, we just think they're incredible. So we're family people. How many of you are family people? You're in a family. You better be family people. How many of you like your family? Okay, don't answer. Okay, we're going to show you a picture of our family quickly. There they are, our tribe. Okay, and the next picture are our two single ones. They're not married. Put your hands out toward them. Okay, I can meet any mothers.
We need intercessors here, folks.
Yeah.
These guys have got to make up their minds.
Next picture. Oh, and Dez on the left, he was on The Voice. You can Google him, iTunes, YouTube, whatever that is, YouTube.
Looney Tunes.
Yeah. Anyway, Dez Duran, I'd love to hear him sing. Mwah. Okay, next picture is our oldest daughter and her family. You can hit the next picture. There they are. Are they too cute? And they pastor across the river from where we are. She's a lawyer, fluent in Chinese. They're all just brilliant, the most brilliant grandchildren. Okay, keep going, keep going. Okay, this is Don Cherie in Miami and Rich and their miracle baby, and they're pregnant. They're going to have their next baby October 24th. We adore them. Keep going. Okay, then here is Denny Rodney and his tribe, and they've been in love since K-5, okay? So she grew up in the church. She left the church, grew up, went to college. What? Oh, that's right. They weren't. That's our young child.
Son.
When you have seven kids, you get. Who is that? I don't even recognize. Anyway, so she did grow up in our church. Was that right? Didn't she grow up?
She grew up in our church. Yes.
And she got married while she was gone. It was not a. It was a mistake. She came home a single mom with two precious babies. Denny Rodney and her fell in love. Actually, she came to work for the church, and Denny put her in Denny Rodney's office. How many of you think that is working with the Lord with strategy?
And there was no more room.
And so now in January, we are handing off our main our campus for them to be lead pastors. We're not retiring. We're refiring, retreading, all that. Keep going. This is our baby boy. This is our miracle child. When Lucas was 14, he was literally homeless through a series of events. And so it ended up that he needed to come to our house just to have a place to come for a couple of weeks, and we never let him leave. And so now he is a policeman, and they're married. She is incredible, a churchwoman. She can do everything. We adore him. He elevated our family. Keep going. This is our baby boy. Now, were they in love since K-5? Is that the
yes,
right
ones? Yes, those are the ones.
Okay. So anyway, that's our family. So give them a hand and clap for your own. God loves families.
Amen. Praise God. Are we ready?
I'll just introduce the man right here. I've been in love with him. I tell you, I can just say the biggest blessing of my life.
My goodness.
It is true.
I'm loving hearing this.
When God brought you to me, and you are so dadgum good looking. Okay, so can we have a date after church?
Oh, you
okay,
bet.
All right. Let's minister, honey. Let's
Amen.
Minister.
We're okay. running out of time.
Okay,
here.
Go.
When we talk about parenting today, here's what I want you to know, and this is not flattery. This is the truth. All of those people up there that you just saw, and myself, we will all line up and tell you that this has been the secret to the Duran family, this amazing lady. Now that we have grandkids, we have 9 grandkids and number 10 on the way. And these children of ours drop their kids off, and we love it. So they'll spend the night with us regularly. We have these wonderful little darlings that are staying with us throughout the week, and we just love it. I just can't tell you the joy. Well, grandparents are the only ones who really know what I'm talking about. But what I can tell you is they call their mother the baby whisperer, because this is what they say. Anytime our kids go to Zaza's house, they come back to our house better children. And so most of what we're going to talk about, we will take credit for together probably, but that's really not the story. The story is an amazing lady who God has given a special revelation. And as she shares her heart today, you need to listen, because this is not just talk with Deonza. This is her life mission and her passion. And I can tell you that the same source that has given her all of this energy to not only be able to raise children, but to have a special in to their hearts and minds and to their destinies, you have that same source. Aren't you excited about that? You have the same source, and that is the Holy Spirit. Well, let's pray. Praise God. Father, I pray that during the next few minutes that you will speak strongly to us. We understand that there's no way that we can even cover a tenth of what we want to cover today. Lord, not even a fraction, because this subject of parenting just goes on and on and on. You've given us this great privilege to have children and then to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And we understand that it is exhaustive, Lord, to just consider all that you have given us as far as resource in your word and in our relationship with you. But I pray that some of what we say will be encouraging to someone here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, you may not be a parent, you may not be married, you may be a young person in this place, and you may plan to take the next 28 minutes off, honestly. Mentally, because you're going to just think about something else, because what we're saying isn't going to relate to you. You're wrong. Because everyone in this place may not be a parent, but everybody is a child. And what I can tell you is that what we are going to say is going to relate to you on so many levels. So I want you to really lean in, and I want you to hear what the Lord has placed on our hearts for you today. I talked to a young man recently, and we were talking about parenting. And he said, I'm afraid to have children. I said, why is that? He said, because I have no example of what it means to be a good parent. He said, my parents were absolutely the worst parents imaginable. He said, Pastor, I can't even tell you about my childhood because it was just that terrible. And I looked at him and I said, I can tell you that you have a great starting point. He said, what do you mean? I said, because throughout my life, I have watched people who had the worst parents become the best parents. Because you not only profit from what your parents did right, you profit from what they did wrong. And let me say this to you. Being a Christian is not only giving people the benefit of the doubt, it is also recognizing the truth. It's not a sin for you. You're not being critical to say that your parents missed it in certain places. Oh, but they were doing the best they could. That's right. But if you take they were doing the best they could as your point of view, you will not profit from their mistakes. You have to be able to say that was wrong. That hurt. That shouldn't have happened. But I will turn that around with my children. God, don't ever allow that to escape my memory. Allow me to hold on to that moment of pain so that my little boy and my little girl can benefit from that. It was painful, Lord, for my dad to never come to one of my ball games. But, oh, God, I'll never miss one of the games of my little boy. I will be there for every recital. I'll celebrate them. I won't always point out after the ball game the grounder that they missed in the infield. I'm rather going to celebrate those two that they caught. Because that hurt me when my dad would do that. I'll never do that to my child. You see, we continue to climb upward. We continue to move toward being better and not being bitter by simply taking our pain and turning it into gain for our children. Now, our title today is Good Advice on Parenting from a Bad Dad. Good advice on parenting from a bad dad. My very favorite Bible character is David. David is the Renaissance man of all Renaissance men before the Renaissance. He was a warrior worshiper. He was a poet king. David was a man of such valor and determination and integrity. He was a leader of leaders. He had a sensitivity toward the men that followed him. They had their own title that was given to them by everyone who knew them throughout history, both in memory and in script and also personally. They were known as the mighty men. Wow, what a man of God. But he had a glitch. He was a bad dad. And it's right here for all of us to see. You know what's interesting about the warriors of God? The only way that you know that the warriors of God messed up is that they tell the story. The only way we know David's glitches is that he tells the story. Many of his moments of failure and confrontation, the only way you could know them is the fact that he shares them. And the one thing that he shares with us in Scripture about his parenting skills is that he didn't have a grasp. Here's point number one that I want you to consider this morning. And it's illustrated from David, a bad dad's life. Having a child doesn't make you a parent. Having a child does not make you a parent. In 1 Chronicles 3, 1 through 6, we have the listing of David's children. He was prolific, I can tell you, in producing kids. He had a house full of babies. And when you read over this list, you're doing your best to find someone other than Solomon that you even recognize. Because the fact is, David had a lot of kids, but he just wasn't a very good parent. I sat down with a gentleman in our city who is, he's so dear to me. He has his kids in church every time the doors are open, literally. And when they come home to visit him, they live in other cities now. They live in Dallas and Fort Worth. And when they come home to visit him with their families, he doesn't take the Sunday off to visit with them. No. We go to church. And he's this feisty little Italian guy. And years ago, we used to play flag football together. I played flag football until I was 50. I understand that the pastor has his picture on the wall of a bar here in town where he played rugby for that bar. I played flag football for a bar in Shreveport, Louisiana. See, we believe that you need to get in there with lost people in order to win them. Amen?
Yes.
And what I will tell you is this young man, we always had trouble with him fighting. He was just one of those guys with short fuse, and he would just fight you in a second. So he was always getting us into trouble in every flag football game we played. He went on to be a fabulous CPA, and he is the CPA of choice for those that have money in our city. But always, always in church. One day, I sat down with him, and I said, tell me about your life and your childhood. He said, my dad and mom never saw me play a ball game. I said, what do you mean? He said, they never saw me play a ball game. I said, but they never, he said, no. He said, one time in college, they came to see me play. And he said, I looked up in the stands and they were gone. They said, it was just too hot in the stands. And they left. He said, you wonder why I am so attentive to my boys. And boy, was he attentive. He coached his kids and he coached my kids all the way through their youth and childhood. He was there for everything for his little girl. Every recital, he's on the front row. You see, he came to the conclusion that just because you have a child, that doesn't make you a parent. Everyone say this with me. Parenting. Is a process.
It's a process.
It's hard work.
It's hard work.
It's being attentive.
It's being attentive.
It's always being conscious.
Always being conscious.
That you have a 24/7 responsibility.
That you have a 24/7 responsibility.
To raise a child.
To raise a child.
In the fear.
In the fear.
Of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
The second point is simply this. Being a parent means reproducing your character, not just your genetics. You know, we always say about kids, who does it look like? Who does it look like? Who does it look like? What we need to ask is what the character of the child looked like. David did not have one heir that resembled him.
You know, I think, Denny, honestly, that's the whole ball game, because isn't the whole thing in life is that we want to be like God. That's what being a Christian is. We're going to spend eternity. And when you think of parenting, I think of one word, regrouping. Everybody say a new beginning. We're praying that today will be a new beginning for our family, for your family. Because parenting, it's regrouping. I love the scripture that says, His mercies are new every morning. Well, as parents, we need them. And we need the mercy for ourselves and for our kids. When I think about parenting, there's so much to say. It's like, Denny, like last night I said, just dealing with parenting, it makes you feel like the person standing in the middle of a mall and all the stores have 95% discount and you're just turning circles because, like, where do I begin? And that's what we kind of feel like this morning because there's so much to say. But I think we're a good point for us to start when you talk about character, is a scripture that really I believe is the scripture God is giving every parent, Deuteronomy 11:19. And I think it's up on the scripture, up on the screen. But it talks about how that wherever you get up, we're to be teaching these precepts. When we walk, when we sit, when we walk along the way, when we go to bed, when we get up. Parenting, Denny hit it, is 24/7. And kids catch the flavor of your life. They, more than anything, you are imparting to them your character. And so as parents, we have to understand that God is empowering us to do what only He can do. I think there's a moment, you can break it down in many ways. I think for me, three words, okay, because we all have family cultures, all right? You have a family culture. It's either intentional or it's by default, but you have a family culture. There's a definite flavor when people walk into your room, to your house. Well, I believe that God helps us to develop exactly what we can do. I had an epiphany when we had our third child, and I can remember watching them in the playroom, and they were talking to each other in ways that were not totally friendly and kind. Does any parent have that at your house? You know, I love the fact that they think psychologists tell you that your kids are just blank pieces of paper. They're not good or bad. It's what happens. So that's not true. We are unredeemed flesh. Do you agree with that? You have, last night we had fun talking about that. Our little kids, they're little sinners. They need, as cute as they are, their first word is mine. And when I looked at those three, I didn't only realize that, but I realized they were going to have their own relationship. And at that moment, and I hope that you'll have that moment now if you haven't had it, I looked at them and I said, they're going to have their own relationship outside of me. And I made a commitment. I said, I will never be passive again about their relationships with one another. And from that point on, our parenting revolved around connecting our kids not only with God, but with each other. And we did it through, I think, of God's words, our words. Words are what really flavor life. And so today, I pray that your awareness of your words, because what you say, there's a couple of pitfalls I think we fall into. That next scripture, go ahead into the next graph. We're talking about your words as parents. There's three challenges that you're going to face when you're creating a culture, when you are downloading your character into your children. And that's going to be busyness. It's going to be disorder in your home. Disorder. My mother-in-law used to always say, Deonza, make sure you have enough snacks and food and stuff in the car. And if they would cry, she would say, oh, they're probably sick or hungry, you know. But many times, the logistics can bring disorder. Can I hear an amen from mamas? And you have to think ahead. And anger. You know, many times we have to do a checklist with ourselves. We got to stay clean. We got to stay grateful. We got to stay purposeful. Why? Because we're downloading our character 24/7 into our children. So it's our words that matter. But their words, go ahead to the next one, is key. And that's where it comes in, character. And there are three pitfalls. I wish we had more time. But if you will really look at these three words and say, I'm not going to let that be a pitfall in my house. I'm going to start from the bottom up. Griping and pouting, that's huge. Do you understand? If you're a griper, your children are going to be gripers. If you're a pouter, you're going to have kids that pout. And so as parents, we have to mature and by modeling this kind of character, it will enable them to be that kind of person. Conflict resolution. I always tell parents, don't just yell. If you guys don't quit screaming, arguing in there, I'm going to. No, sometimes you got to go in and say, what's going on? And you help them. My two little granddaughters, Friday, we have a new little scooter that someone left in the house, and they were running up and down. They were fighting over it. Well, she's doing it longer than me. And I said, hey, easy solution. You got your little timer on your watch, baby? Yeah. Okay, everybody gets 2 minutes. Okay, and then, so it stopped it, right like that. But they didn't think of that. So conflict resolution, help your kids understand how to do it. We have a saying at our house, everybody gets a turn, you go first. Everybody, it just helps. But the big one for this point, the character is disrespect. We often say, my husband has coined with us that we're a family of honor. And when you talk about character, that's huge. One thing that I want to just tell you, dads, support your wife and your kids. Never respect. I just want to say, when parents come up and go, so what do you do when your kids are disrespectful and they throw fits? And I'm really kind of amazed, because I want to look at them and go, oh, first, now tell me once again, who's the adult and who's the child? Are you using your clout? I don't care if it's a teenager or a two-year-old. There should be respect and honor in your house. And that's the core value of giving the character to your children. If your kids have learned honor, how to honor God, how to honor themselves, how to honor their family and people, they're going to be successful in life. They'll have a chance. But if not, you know, even as a two-year-old, you know there's a time when that child wants what they want. But then there's a time when you say, no, don't do that. And they look at you in the eye, and it's a fit. And you know that spirit. Is that not true? It's not just a sweet little baby, she wants her cookie. It's, you're not getting this back. I'm throwing a fit. I'm not saying beat your child to death. I think anger, we live in an angry world. There's child abuse. That's a reality. Don't deal with your kids if you're out of control, angry. But you take control of that child, whatever age. You're the adult. You control the atmosphere of your home. And you declare, hey, we're going to honor each other. We're not throwing fits around here. And if you have to hold on to that two-year-old and just take his hand, because if you notice the two-year-old, they don't want you to touch them. You take their hand and you talk to them until they settle down. That teenager, you don't allow them to go stomp their feet or roll their eyes at you. Our kids never rolled their eyes at us, did they? Because they would have
only
been
once.
Only once. Because that's not who we were. Because we understood this reality. If you don't teach your children honor and obedience, you're destroying their lives. And parents, it may not always be easy. But make sure that you have a culture of honor in your home, and make sure that your words, and you celebrate them, and you encourage them, and you bless them, but you never tolerate dishonor. It's a non-negotiable. This is a home. We're a family where we honor one another. And that's the core value of downloading our character.
That's so good. So good. Amen. Having a child doesn't make you a parent. Being a parent means reproducing your character, not just your genetics. That was wonderful, baby. And then the third thing that we pulled from David's life is the art of parenting is called listening. If you miss this one point, then you've missed it all. And you will continue to miss it throughout your relationship with your children. In fact, you may be on the surface in control, but you will not be building character and helping your child move toward their destiny. In 2 Samuel 13, David hits his most challenging family crisis. There is one of his sons named Absalom who literally turns on him, rallies the men of the kingdom, and they put a price on David's head. He gives the order to kill his father. How many of you understand that's probably a family crisis, a little bit above the one that you're facing right now. But when you go back to the core, to the root reason why that this crisis developed, what you will see is that Absalom was incensed over the fact that his half-brother raped his full sister, and that David never sat down with the family and addressed it. Neither was he willing to listen to Absalom, because Absalom was so angry about the issue. He was so wounded by the issue, and wouldn't you be? But David never had time. Never had time to allow Absalom to pour out his heart and say, "Dad, this is wrong, and you got to do something about it. Dad, this is a horrible violation of your daughter. What are you going to say? What are you going to do, Dad?" It was never the moment when he could just work it out by sitting and listening. Let me say this to you. As soon as your children are able to talk, listen to them. Listen to them. You'll be amazed what comes out of their little hearts. And sometimes it's humorous as well, isn't it? A friend of mine in New York, a pastor friend of mine, they had twin girls, cutest little things you've ever seen. Well, they were always into something. And the mom had made a beautiful cake for a women's meeting that she was about to have. And she went in, and I'm telling you, there were little paw prints, and there were, you know, bites out of the cake. I mean, that thing was completely destroyed. And so they called the twins in, and one of them was just a little bit sharper than the other when it came to these kinds of crises. And so the mom asked, "What happened to that cake?" And the little girl looked up and said, "The cat got in it. I saw the cat get in it." The mom asked, said, "Well, why is icing on your mouth?" And she thought a second. She said, "The cat kissed me." You know, there have been a couple of different runs of shows on television is that kids say the darndest things. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? But let me tell you something. They are also sharing some vital links to their soul. And if you listen, they'll share with you who they are, what they're feeling, what offends them. How many parents have just been so absolutely filled with regret because they didn't have time to sit down and extract the fact that their child was being bullied at school, or that they had been sexually molested or abused? How many parents have been filled with such regret because they didn't have a line of communication to the depression of their child until they find out that their child has been picked up and put in the tank because of drinking? And they're not drinking to party, they're drinking to numb their senses. And we didn't even know, did we? Didn't even know, because we just never took the time to listen. Sit down with your kids and make it the most important business appointment of the week. Be attentive. Turn your phone off. Lean in. Ask good questions. Plan the meeting. Sit down with you and your wife. Talk to your child. Don't badger them. Don't interrupt. And don't be offended no matter what they say. Set a rule that when you talk together, this is going to be dead man's talk. In other words, it doesn't go anywhere else. Look at your son or your daughter and say, "I've got your back in this." Now, when we sit down and we talk like this during these family times, it doesn't matter what you service, you're not going to get in trouble for it. I'm going to be a resource to you. You'd be surprised. I've probably done a lot more things than you would know. Things I'm even sorry for, I can probably help you through it if you just give me a chance. Let me tell you something. If you will develop the skills of communication between you and your child, things will change. You know what I hear parents say all the time? And it's amazing how we criticize our kids. I'll never get over that. I don't know why we do that. Oh, I'm going to just tell you, she's going through a tough time. Oh, she hates me. She hates me. Is that all you know that she's thinking? Take some time. Break down the barriers through genuine communication. Start listening. Tell them they can say anything they want to, no matter how hurtful. Don't label your kids. Don't criticize your kids. Don't demean your kids, especially in front of other people. Talk about your kids' good qualities. Pull them up higher. Choose to be with them. One of the biggest regrets in my life is when my boys were young, I had this brotherhood thing going. It's one of the greatest regrets of my life. We were the brotherhood. I had some young men, guys I'd led to the Lord back in college. They came to join me. Man, they talked about me and just blew my head out of proportion. You know, I was the leader of the brotherhood. Oh, wow. This is great. We fly around the country together. Man, we minister together. We go to Argentina. Man, we go out on a fishing trip. We go to ball games together. We're the brotherhood. All the young guys all thought it was the greatest thing. The leaders are the brotherhood. Biggest waste of time of my life. I'm busy being the brotherhood. When I got my best friends that are 2 and 4 and 7 years old, just waiting for daddy to get home from the brotherhood so maybe we could play catch a little bit. Sir, you know what you need to do? You need to pull those leathers off and get off that dang motorcycle and throw batting practice in the backyard. That just comes from the hurt of my own life, because you can tell when I speak about this, I regret it. I regret that season. I missed some good years. Thank God I didn't miss them all. And when I was home, I was home. When I did spend time with my kids, I did spend time with them. But oh man, I wasted a bunch of it just on foolishness. Don't do that. Establish communication patterns. Love your kids. Go home and tell your little 5-year-old boy today, you're my best friend. You and me are hanging. He'll hang with you your whole life. And it won't be long before he can drive you where you're going and you can take a nap. It'll be wonderful.
Also, parents are just human. I think in wrapping it up, I just want to say this. God's going to help you.
Yeah.
You know, share your spiritual. Be real with your children. Make it relevant. Integrate God into everything, every challenge, every situation, every conversation, not in a preachy way, but in a fun way. Teach the scriptures. If you have little ones, boy, you can teach it fun. We would have fun. We would act them out. We would have contests. But make God the center of your life. Make serving your church family. Let your children grow up in the house of God.
Amen.
Seeing a family that serves together. And last of all, just make sure you understand God's going to fill in the gaps.
He sure is.
I can tell you I made so many mistakes, but God is faithful. And if you'll trust Him, and if you'll let Him be the center, then God will do what you can never do for your family.
Nobody feels adequate parenting. It's the greatest, the most gargantuan challenge of life. And I love this scripture, 2 Samuel 7:19. David speaking to the Lord and says, "But as if this were not enough in your sight, sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. And this decree, sovereign Lord," I love this, "is for a mere human." Aren't you glad that the best things in life are reserved for mere humans? Humans that are people that make mistakes, that have seasons of regret, that would like to go back and do some things over again, that have missed the point, that have struck out. Aren't you glad those things are reserved for us? Stand with me, please, all over this place. We're a couple of minutes over, and I want to pray for you. But here's what I want. If God has challenged your heart as a parent, and you'll say, Pastor Denny, Deonza, I believe that today the Lord has dropped something in my heart that is going to help me turn some things around. You'll say, I sure am determined to check this out. I want you to raise your hand high, all of this place right now, all of this place. You parents, raise your hand high, because I'm going to pray for you right now. As your hands are lifted, I'm going to pray God's anointing and His power and His enabling grace over you. Just right now, lift your hand, and in faith, you receive this. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, our Lord, who told us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Lord, you are the God of families. And Lord, you place the solitary in families. Lord, we have every description of family available in this room. We have blended families. Families that have come from dysfunction. Fathers and mothers that have never had an example themselves of how to raise a child. But this is what we have. We have people whose hearts belong to you and who have a desire, a deep desire to have a family that is extraordinary and special and to have children that rise up and call you blessed. I pray in the name of Jesus that there will be stories that will come from this morning that will be epic stories of your grace and glory in the human family. I pray. And Lord, you will empower us. Just receive right now. Lord, we receive your power. We receive your anointing. We receive right now the download of your grace. We want to see you move in our lives. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.